Now that the Christmas season is coming to an end for another year, and we've celebrated our Savior's birth in word and in song and with plays, I want to look ahead to the next time that our Lord comes to this earth, or close to this earth, when he will call his believers or the church to himself up into the clouds. Specifically, the time leading up to that event, which is all otherwise known as the rapture. I believe that we are much closer to that event than we are to the birth of our Savior. The disciples, the Apostle Paul, and much of the early church lived their Christian lives as if the rapture was close at hand, which gave them a sense of urgency to spread the salvation message, teach the gospel truths, and prayed that they could do so, get that message out there, that they could do it quickly so that as many people as possible could hear it. Now we're going to read from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now a little bit about these guys. This church, first of all, didn't have very many resources to lean on. They had the first book from Paul, and then he wasn't there too much after that. And they became a little misinformed, so Paul wrote them a second letter to straighten them out a little bit and to encourage them to keep in the faith which he had already taught them. Now, being under severe persecution, these believers thought that they had missed the rapture and were in the midst of the day of the Lord, or into the tribulation already. Paul had to correct them of this thought and encourage them to stand firm in that faith. We need to remember, just like the days of the Thessalonians, we are being groomed here also to believe a lie. And that grooming has been kicked into high gear into recent history. Now, nowadays, the God-ordained order of intimacy between a married man and a woman only has been challenged. It's been seriously challenged for a long time. But now the lie is that it's okay and acceptable to have those intimate relationships with anyone, any gender, any person, at any time, whenever you feel like. Another lie is that you can choose to be any gender that you see fit, or more than one at the same time. In fact, our governing body for figure skating in this country just announced the other day that they will not be holding competitions in Alberta because they won't let transgender men skate with the women. And they do it under the umbrella of fair play and safety and inclusiveness. Well, we know that's a lie, but we are taught to believe that's the new truth, and that's how it should be. One more is one more lie is directed more towards believers, and that is that the rapture and the coming day of the Lord is kind of out there somewhere in the future at some time, but probably not in my lifetime. But the believer needs to live as if the rapture is going to happen today. And why would I do that? Because it keeps us in God's word. It keeps us and his truths. It keeps us wanting to be obedient to that truth. And it gives us a sense of urgency to spread that gospel message so that all may be saved before that time happens. Not that people won't be saved after that time, but it'll be far, far more difficult. It's much easier to do in this time of grace than it will be during the time of when the Lord comes to exact his judgment on this earth. So, and these are all things that God has instructed us to do. So it gives us a little bit more focus if we live like it's going to happen today. So let's go over to 2 Thessalonians and let's read. We're going to read the whole chapter. At first, Paul corrects these guys that they haven't missed the rapture, And then later on in that chapter, he encourages them to stand firm in their faith. So let's read chapter 2. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy or report or letter, supposing to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. So there it is. These Thessalonians thought they'd missed it, and they thought that they were in the tribulation, mainly because of the heavy persecution they were feeling. So Paul continues, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed for destruction. So he's talking there, the rebellion against God has already started, but after the rapture, it'll ramp up into actual physical rebellion against God's people. And the man of lawlessness will sit on the throne and consider himself God. And we'll read that here in verse 4. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. So Satan will put this guy in power, and he will, and people will obviously want him in that position. Continuing in verse 5. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of the lawlessness is already at work, but the one who holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. So he's saying again, you haven't missed the rapture because the Holy Spirit is still in you guys, and he is still with you. And the church is still here, and that's the power that holds. That's the power that God uses to hold back the man of lawlessness. But he is already at work, spreading his lies and getting the world ready for that time, when they will believe that lie. Continuing in verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed. And this happens halfway through the tribulation, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. So this guy thinks he has power over the whole world, but when Christ comes at the end of that tribulation, he will... We always talk about a huge battle that'll happen, but Jesus will come with the believers following him, and he will just speak it, and this guy will be done. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan. So Satan is at work doing this, and he's at work at it right now. Displayed in all kinds, this guy will be able to pull all kinds of maneuvers. He will display all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. And they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. So these people apparently knew the truth before the rapture, but now that they're in this point in time, they didn't believe the Messiah came in the first time, but they'll believe that this guy is God or the Messiah at this period of time. For this reason, God sent them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. I often wondered which kind of people were coming to Christ during that tribulation. And I thought, well, maybe it's people that have heard the word, but maybe didn't do anything about it. But it doesn't seem to say that here. It seems to think that if you had your chance before the rapture to believe the truth that God set before you, and you didn't choose to do it, God will send this himself. God sends them a powerful delusion that they will believe the lie. They will believe the lie of the lawless one. But many people will come to know Christ during that tribulation period, but it will be people who have never heard it or haven't heard it explained to them clearly enough. So we continue on in verse 12. And so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. So they willfully did not believe the truth and delighted in doing whatever they chose to do. So we have, so it's a warning. It's a warning to get it done, get in the proper position with the Lord while you still can during this period of grace, because it will come to an end. And then as far as second chances, we're pretty much out of luck. But these next verses are for the Thessalonians to help them to stand firm and to encourage them. Verse 13. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through the belief in that truth. So God chose them. He chooses people to be saved, but he does not choose people to be condemned. You have a choice all the time. But he knows from beforehand who will and who will not heed his call. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and work. So those good deeds and works are the fruits of the Spirit. And those fruits are, we have need to go out and live that message and tell that message. We have to do it, like Paul said, by word of mouth or by letter. However we need to do it is we need to get that word out there. And finally, I'd like to just get into chapter 3. I'll leave you with this. It's a prayer that Paul asked the Thessalonians to pray for him and whoever was bringing the word to them. But I think that prayer can be prayed by all of us for each other, whoever goes out. And we're commanded to all go out and preach his word. So I'll read that in closing. Chapter 3. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may be spread rapidly and be honored just as it is with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful and will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance.